We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know that you could invest in crypto through your retirement account? That's right. iTrust Capital allows you to invest in over 24 of the most popular cryptocurrencies. And unlike the stock market, you can buy and sell 24 hours a day. With iTrust Capital, you also get the tax benefits of a retirement account while investing in crypto. Visit iTrustCapital.com to start investing today. That's iTrustCapital.com. Taxes and conditions may apply. Fees apply. Cryptocurrencies are a speculative investment with risk of loss. iTrust Capital Incorporated does not provide legal, investment, or tax advice. Consult with a qualified legal, investment, or tax professional.
All right, what's good? Welcome back. Ain't No Seats Podcast, Episode 2, B-Turn. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're back. I'm a little sick. We're going to call this my Jordan flu game, I guess. So sorry if I sound like this, but what Jordan score when he had that flu game? I don't know.
Upper 30s, probably.
Okay. Yeah, so if I can
have
upper...
They got the dub, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to get the win today. Hopefully, this Episode 2, we're hopefully improving a little bit. Thanks for all the feedback from episode one. We're taking the feedback, trying to get better. But I guess let's just get right into it. Let's just talk sad times. Josh Selby.
Ben McLemore.
Jamari Traylor.
Joel Embiid.
Cliff Alexander.
Cech Diallo.
Billy Preston.
Silvio De Sousa.
Udoka Azubuike. Folks, those are the guys that have either been ineligible or injured since 2010. I mean, going back to Selby, the free Selby thing was kind of the first time that we really freaked out about a player not being eligible, and that seemed so rare at the time, and now it's happening every single year.
Yeah, it feels like every single season we have someone that's super impactful to the team that's either ineligible or hurt. I mean, literally every name we just listed off is probably a five-star recruit.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, outside of Jamari, I think every single one of those every single one of those guys is a top 50, at least top 50 recruit. McLemore and Jamari, it worked out well. McLemore came back for that 2013 team, but who knows what he does with that 2012 team that lacked depth and all that. So, certainly sucks. Cliff and Diallo and Billy and Silvio now twice, but... Gets to our first topic of the day, Udoka Azubuike. He's officially out for the season. We've had a couple days to reflect. It was pretty sad. I was in New Orleans for work, and I was just walking downtown New Orleans as depressed as I could possibly be, thinking about the fact that not only is he done for the season, he's probably done as a Jayhawk, wouldn't you say?
He might be done, but I could see him coming back next year for his senior year unless I just don't see a – NBA team really taking the chance on drafting him, and I think he needs to expand his game a lot more just because he doesn't really score outside of a foot. Yeah. Can't shoot. The crowd goes nuts when he makes one free throw.
Yeah, I mean, hey, spin zone. Lon Kruger, nobody, they can't do the hack-a-doke anymore.
So yeah.
Got them there.
And last podcast we talked about how Dedrick plays a lot better without Doak, which didn't really show on Saturday. We all thought, all three of us thought Dedrick was going to have a huge game. And he kind of struggled shooting. And
yeah. It was, but Dedrick absolutely showed up Wednesday, but we'll get to that. So I guess what we kind of want to talk about, is the sky falling? Is the streak over? Jay Williams has the streak over.
Yeah, he was the first one to say that, wasn't he?
Yep, he was. Seth Davis, I actually tweeted at Seth. I said, you want to get this train rolling? He said, absolutely not.
No, he learned his lesson. I think Jay Williams is going to learn his too. I mean, I was kind of worried after the Iowa State game just because I feel like we were ranked number one to start the year because of our front court depth. Yep. And now you're without Silvio. You're without Doak. And then,
I mean, David and Mitch can't even –
yeah,
hardly see them. David played one minute last night.
Yeah.
So it's definitely crazy to go from deepest front court in the country to now playing four guards and pulling the red shirt off a guy just to get another one there. So,
because, I mean, who knows? It's taken how long for them to make a decision on Silvio, and then Doak's obviously done for the year. So
I think
need minutes from Big Dave. You need minutes from Mitch, but I'm not even sure if they're going to see him.
No. Yeah, I think the Ochai decision was pretty telling. We'll get to that later, but I think that's pretty telling of Bill Self to, if you're pulling a guy's red shirt, I think that's pretty telling on how he feels about Silvio De Sousa, and I would say that it's pretty clear we're probably not going to get to see Silvio, and that sucks for him, but it's how the NCAA works, and that's a whole different episode to get into all that, but hashtag free Silvio for sure, though.
100%.
So I guess with the Udoka stuff, do you want to talk a little bit about the Iowa State game? Obviously, it was awful.
Yeah. I felt like first half Q was really starting to make shots, penetrate, pass. Looked like his high school tapes.
Yep, absolutely. He
kind of kept us in the game in the first half. Even though how many turnovers did we have in the first half?
It was insane. I don't know the exact number, but we were turning. I think at the end of the game, we turned the ball over on 33% of our possessions or something like that.
Because we had a season high in turnovers with like 15 minutes left.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's.
And we were still in the game.
That's the fear when you go into road games with such a young team. But problem was, it wasn't the young guys all committing the turnovers. LeGerald had seven of his own.
Seven.
That's insane. I can't think of a last time somebody. I think Markeef had 10 turnovers against VCU or something like that in the Elite Eight.
God. But we can't talk about that game.
Yeah, but other than that, I don't know, man. Turnovers were certainly the main thing we got to talk about from that Iowa State game. Dedrick was pretty much.
That might have been his worst performance of the year.
Yeah.
Well, he went scoreless in that one non-con game, didn't he?
Yeah.
But, I mean, getting the news about Doak right before the game, we really needed Dedrick to step up, and they kind of contained him, like you said.
For sure. And they definitely kind of – the fear has always been our inability to shoot. Mm-hmm. They packed it in, and we just can't We can't make open threes, and that is a huge concern.
I know, because Quentin made a few early, and I thought he was going to catch fire, and then he kind of – I mean, at halftime, we all felt confident in us because how bad we played in the first half. Yeah. Thought we'd come out strong, and they just dominated the second half. Also, Mariel Shayok is the real deal. I mean, you can see he was battle-tested in the ACC, always one of the best conferences, and he really gave it to us.
Iowa State was infuriating because they had Shayok kind of shoots funny. Halliburton shoots like he played from the 1920s. Mm-hmm.
He shoots it, and you don't think it's going in. I don't know if he missed.
Sets his shot. It looks ridiculous. It doesn't hit rim ever.
No.
Goes straight in. He's unbelievable. They all kind of have weird-looking shots, and unfortunately, they just all went in against us.
Second half, I feel like they didn't miss at all. Second half.
Brutal.
We couldn't get back in the game.
Yeah, it was brutal.
I thought Devon Dotson did really well getting to the rim and finishing. Yeah. He can be out of control driving to the lane, but I trust him to finish, and he usually draws contact and stuff.
Yeah. The scary thing about our offense without Udoka is that pretty much the only two ways we can score are Dedrick and Devon just sprinting down the court and hopefully getting to the rim. So,
yeah,
it's not very sustainable. But we don't got to spend a ton of time on ISU. The sad portion of that podcast is out of the way. Let's move on because B-turn, AB, It is Ochai season. How you feeling about Ochai?
I feel really good about him. I mean, he's obviously been putting in work or something at practice for Bill to pull the red shirt. I mean, we talked about Silvio being done, possibly being done for the year, Doak done for the year. So we need someone to provide minutes, and I feel like Ochai's the perfect spark off the bench for us.
Absolutely. He was incredible. I'm not going to lie, before the game, I was on Twitter. I think the day before the game, I said I didn't like the decision. I didn't feel great about burning a guy's red shirt because my take is always, if you can have a guy who's 23 with experience over a guy that's 18 and no experience for half a season, you're always going to side with the 23-year-old. But I think the what we saw last night probably shows that Ochai might not be here till he's 23, so you might as well squeeze everything you can get out of him because that dude was crazy athletic.
I mean, how many upperclassmen has Bill had that have just turned out to be amazing? And, like, you learn the system. He's kind of hard on freshmen, so they don't play. And then those seniors, especially Devontae Frank, they played as a freshman, sophomore, or whatever, but they ended up being some of the best players in the country as a senior.
Yeah, for sure. Do you so how did you feel about Ochai before we burned a red shirt? Did you want us to do that or what?
No, I feel like me and you, we both didn't like it at all. Yeah. I kind of felt like it would almost be a waste because I wasn't sure how many minutes he would see. I mean, we're pretty deep. We bring Charlie Moore off the bench, KJ. Who else do we bring? Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, we've
so he could have been like the 10th guy, and he comes in and plays 25 minutes.
Yeah, so I guess let's just talk about that. That's pretty insane. I think I predicted 12 minutes for him.
Yeah, I would have guessed 10 or so.
Yeah, he was first off the bench. I think he was off the bench before the 16-minute timeout, so insane. It shows how much trust Bill has in him, and it shows, I mean, we're pretty dumb for doubting Bill. Bill seems to always be pretty right about these things. He's watched
people start to get worried about KU, and then Bill pulls something out, and we just look like a whole different team.
Yeah, and I mean, playing 20, not only did he play 25 minutes, and it's not like he played 25 minutes in a blowout, he played 25 minutes and then played the final 5 minutes of crucial gameplay.
So he's in when it matters.
Yeah.
Like down the stretch, it's not like we were blowing them out. They made a run. They got it down to one or two, didn't they?
Yeah.
Late in the game.
Alex Robinson, who can't shoot threes, starts draining threes.
Oh, he'll make them against us.
But yeah, I mean, that was my main takeaway. I guess here I've got, I thought Ochai played really good defense with something was shocking. I watched him a lot. He has crazy long strides, and he can stay in front of people pretty well.
He's super long, and, yeah, he was active on both ends, and you know Bill's going to love that. Oh, if you play defense, you're going to see the floor.
Yeah, so
and he even said after the game that he was the best player, obviously, outside of Dedrick.
Yeah.
And Dedrick had 31 of the – how many points did we score?
77, so somebody do the math on that. I certainly won't, but
– but, yeah, I mean, he looked like the second best player out there, and – he looked super comfortable with everyone. And think about all the guys we've had that have been, like, suspended. They miss half a year. They haven't had any game action. They're rusty. Like Silvio last year. Silvio comes in.
Every time he touches the ball.
Looks lost. Can't guard nobody.
Yeah.
And then
no fake Bill Self there for you.
But, yeah, I'm like, you're going to be a little rusty if you're not playing against in-game action. And then, I mean, we're 3 games into the Big 12 play, and he comes in and plays like that.
Yeah.
We need someone off the bench like that.
That was awesome.
The Iowa State game, it didn't even look like most of our guys were trying.
No. Yeah, that was brutal. The thing about Ochai, I loved how Bill did that, how he came in and called the lob immediately.
Famous that's, Bill Self plays.
Yep. Bill Self out of timeouts.
He draws it up first possession.
Yeah.
Was that out of a timeout? Kind of timeout, then free throw?
Well, I think we had had like a out-of-TV timeout, and then I think we came back, and that was just the first set we ran. And that's got to be huge for a guy's confidence. So that was,
I mean, we threw a ton of lobs to Ochai last night. Dude jumps out of the gym.
He's
Bill
crazy.
Said most athletic guy on our team.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And LeGerald's pretty athletic.
That's my thought. I kept hearing he's the most athletic guy on the team, and I was like, whoa, if that's the case, then because LeGerald can jump out the gym. So
what do you think about – do you think Ochai will eventually start?
No.
I mean, I know Grimes kind of lost some minutes last night off foul trouble, but Ochai kind of brings – a lot to the table defensively, and he has a nice stroke, can jump.
That's the thing. I don't think Ochai will necessarily ever start, but I do think he'll be in the game a lot late. Plays better defense than Grimes, and who knows? I mean, LeGerald didn't play late against didn't we talk about last pod? LeGerald didn't even play late against Arizona State.
Yeah, or was
that
it?
That might be wrong.
Or was it OU?
Was it OU? Oh, yeah, it was OU.
OU, yeah.
That's my bad.
First pick 12 game.
LeGerald, Charlie played over him.
Yeah,
and, so,
and missed those free throws late.
Yeah. So the thing is, Ochai could for sure come in and take people's minutes late just because the way he guards and
yeah.
stuff like that. So
think about this lineup. Marcus Garrett, Ochai, Devon Dodson defensively. Think yeah. about those guards. Yep. And then we got, I mean, LeGerald will play, which he's not horrible defensively when he wants to be good. Yeah. So those four and then Diedrich, that's a pretty nice lineup if you want to get stops and, you know, Bill loves defense.
Exactly. I think that's very likely. I think it's very likely we'll see, like you said, Dotson's been great at guarding the ball. Marcus is the best defender on the team.
Yeah, Marcus wouldn't play if he couldn't guard like that.
Yeah, no, Marcus
he's
is great.
He's unreal defensively.
Bill's obsessed with him.
Yeah.
So,
Ochai's super long, and he'll be able to get stops too.
For sure, and I think the recipe for this team to win the Big 12 is to no doubt just play lockdown defense, win ugly games. This is the type of stuff Bill Self loves, and I think we're to that point because our offense is going to go super stale at times, and I think we're just going to have to win games by getting stops and guarding somebody, as old Bill would say.
You got to guard somebody.
So I guess that pretty much gets our Ochai thoughts out there. Ochai is a stud. I look forward to seeing what he does. It just felt like he kind of brought some positive energy to the team. Everyone felt so down after the Udoka plus the loss. So it was.
And Allen Fieldhouse is always crazy, but I feel like he brought energy to the building.
Yep.
I wasn't there, but you were there. I'm sure yeah. he. I mean, you catch a lob. They're literally showing his family on TV, yeah. and then a second later, they throw a lob to Oach, and place went nuts, and that's going to bring energy to any team.
Yeah.
A dude playing for the first time.
It was awesome, and it was just Bill Self continues to be a wizard. Just an incredible decision to have confidence in Ochai to bring him in. So,
because if he can play a shell of that rest of the year, you're living.
Exactly. Just coming in and play defense.
Like, there's not many dudes that come off the bench at KU that play 25 minutes.
Yeah.
You can tell that Bill's already comfortable, and Oach looked really comfortable, too.
Yeah. It was fun. I was loving it. I felt kind of bad that I was on the side of not wanting to pull the red shirt, but
I do, too.
But you know what? I'm all for him being a stud, and shout out to Ochai. That was awesome.
Bill Self knows more than us, I feel like.
Does he? I'm not positive, but you might be right. So I guess other things that stood out about TCU, Diedrich was incredible, as we talked about last
pod. It's like normal now.
Yeah.
Every game, it's like you might as well put 25 and 12 on the board for him because that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, 31-14. It drives me insane when we don't get him a touch. Like, I think there was a couple possessions late in the game. Obviously, we executed really well. We came out of a timeout, went to Diedrich. He got the and one. But then the next possession, we didn't go to him. And that
I
just
feel like he should get a touch every possession.
Oh, yeah. He has to with this offense. And so going forward, if we're going to win games late, that's what we got to do. And I think we will.
I mean, rest of the year, when you're going to have to play probably four guards and him. Give him the ball down low. If they double, he can pass.
Yeah.
Best passer Bill Self's had, he says.
Yeah. So
you get the guards open. Hopefully we start making threes. But Diedrich just opens up everything for everyone.
Yeah, but it's crazy how you see him get in the groove of things. Like, he'll kind of early in the game, he'll start to kind of stumble. He's not going up strong. And then second half, he'll catch the ball baseline, spin in, finger roll. Next possession, he'll pull up for three. Like, he clearly is one of those guys that once he gets in a groove, like, you can't stop him, and he becomes the best player in the country. So, love that about him. We got to keep, obviously, like you said, just feeding him all the time.
Yeah, let him get a touch. Things will open up. He can shoot, finish. Make free throws. Wish he would dunk.
Yeah. Can Diedrich dunk? I'm not sure.
We'll have to see.
Yeah. Stay tuned to find out if Diedrich can dunk. But we also talked about his shooting on the last podcast. I said I was a big law of averages guy. He was shooting under 20%. He made two against who the heck did we play? TCU.
Yeah,
he made two against TCU and got that percentage up to over 20%. So shout out. Yep, trajectory's going up. Diedrich, hopefully Diedrich can end the season at, like, I don't know, 27, 25. I don't know. He'd have to.
I bet he gets up to close to 30.
Hopefully. I was looking at his Memphis numbers. Wasn't great.
No?
No.
Did he shoot a lot of threes?
Right around 20%. Shot actually a little more, I think, from three with Memphis. But I think he'll get in the groove a little more, and hopefully we'll see that percentage go up. But we got to talk about our guy, LeGerald.
Yep.
LeGerald, through last two games, is averaging 6.5 turnovers a game. 7 against Iowa State, 13 6 last night.
Last two games?
Yep. That's not good.
No, and I mean, he looked incredible non-conference. Looked like everyone was calling him player of the year candidate, Big 12 player of the year, well, him or Diedrich, but he looked super good in non-con. He won us some games single-handedly. Absolutely. If we didn't have him, we weren't winning a few. Oh. We weren't beating Stanford.
Yeah.
Tennessee, he was huge.
Yeah.
So, even that Louisiana game.
Yeah, I mean, is that the game where he went 8 for 8?
That yeah.
That was insane. So,
need him to turn it on again. I mean, he seems to be forcing a lot,
yeah,
thinking that he needs to shoot all the time, which it's cool. I mean, I feel confident when the guy shoots.
Exactly. The thing that's frustrating to me is it's like we've seen this before. He was great last year in the non-conference. He was one of our leading scorers. And then he just started to disappear. And last year when you're blending in with guys like Svi, Devontae, Malik, you can get away with that. But we can't afford for him to just disappear in games like he did in Iowa State.
And like we always say, he's our only senior.
Yeah.
Supposed to be our leader. So even if shots aren't falling, look for a better look. Get another guy involved. Get him a look.
Yeah.
Just got to do whatever it takes to win.
And you know Bill's going crazy about the taking care of the ball. You can't turn the ball over 13 times in two games.
It's not like the ball's in his hands all the time.
Exactly.
But the ball's kind of sticking right now. When he gets it, he's either dribbling around, taking crazy shots. But
yeah, I mean, a lot of his turnovers were weird. It'd be like him trying to drive, getting to a spot on the floor where he couldn't do anything, and then he just gets stripped. And it's like, that's just you can't do that. You got to know what you're doing with the ball. So I think he's going to improve. He's not going to turn the ball over 6.5 times a game. So
I think just maybe in a little funk right now, needs to see a few shots fall.
Yeah,
we had two guys in double figures last night, and he was the second one.
Yeah, he's still shooting the ball fine. Just like you said, he's got to make sure he's taking the right shots and just taking care of the ball, and everything will be fine. I think he'll figure it all out. But you know what, LeGerald, the positive side of LeGerald is that his mom is Lala.
Oh my God, best Twitter follow. KU fans, if you don't follow Lala, Lala Vic 1.
What is her handle? I don't even know.
I think it's Lala Vic 1.
I'm sure you guys already do follow her. Lala's incredible. Lala Vic 1. Throw her a follow.
Please. All caps, the whole game.
She tweets nothing but all caps.
I feel like she just brings energy to the team. She does. Those are just positive vibes. Some of them.
I don't know. I don't know why Bill just doesn't sit her on the bench. And
she needs to be at every game.
Can you imagine if she was just yelling these into the ears of the players rather than tweeting them in all caps? It'd be incredible.
Oh, unreal. They wouldn't lose.
Yeah. So as part of our love for Lala, we're going to start a Lala Vic tweet of the week. We're going to come at you with a couple different options, and me and B-Turn and maybe AB can even weigh in. We're going to talk about what we think our favorite tweet from Lala was. Starting this week, we're going to go back to the Iowa State game. As always, it was pretty ugly. The one I'm going to read, things weren't going well in the first half. Lala hits us with an all caps, "Y'all got to chase this win like y'all chase those skirts. Get it done, Maine." That's an electric tweet,
incredible.
Lala. Incredible. I love Lala so much. The fact that she just – that's what she thinks about on the spot is incredible. And we put that in our final two.
No question.
You got one over there.
Okay, this is – this one's from – is this from the OU game?
No, this I think was
– the fifth?
Yeah, the fifth was Iowa State.
Okay, this one's from the Iowa State game too. She obviously wasn't too happy with the way we were playing. So she tweets, "Me and four of my chubby homegirls can play better than my squad playing right now. And hell, we'll need oxygen. Get it together, y'all. We still have time. Get disrespectful, please." She's always talking about on the road to be disrespectful, like to the crowd, like play so well that you beat them at their house.
Yep.
When we play at home, she says, "Don't let them be disrespectful."
Like, shout out to Lala. I mean, respect. I mean, I totally get it, that we'll need oxygen thing. I play City League, man. I run up the court a couple times. I'm needing oxygen, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I sit on my couch constantly and just watch sports, so it's
but she's confident that four and her of her chubby homegirls can go out there and beat Iowa State and play harder than our guys.
Yeah, at least play harder, because they didn't play the whole game. She was tweeting about just playing harder and that we weren't even trying after the game. I forget what she said, but the best saying she's ever had was the Stanford game when LeGerald was going off, but no one was doing anything, and she tweeted, pump up your nuts.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we just call this segment the hashtag pump up your nuts segment.
Yes.
She's gotten real excited with that. She uses that all the time now. It seems in big moments she's tweeting that hashtag pump up your nuts. So I'll tell you what, that's what the squad has to do if we're going to get 15 straight.
100%.
Pump up your damn nuts.
And she makes every KU game better.
Yeah.
No matter what. If you follow her on Twitter, you'll laugh the whole time.
Yeah.
All caps. The best energy possible.
I need her to, even when LeGerald's gone and not playing anymore, I need her to just continue to
be a diehard KU game. Fan.
Yeah.
Let's get her season tickets. Ticket. Yeah, exactly.
Just sit with us. Sit with me and B Turn. We'll do a live pod every game, and you just, instead of tweeting, just freaking scream into our microphones.
And I feel like the best part is, I bet she's just sitting there on TV watching the game and she yells this stuff and then she takes it to Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, I want to watch a game with her so badly.
Yeah. We got to make that happen. I think we're working on getting her on the pod.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. We'll see.
Lala's going to be on the pod, folks.
We're going to get Lala on the pod.
No question.
She's going to be leading the Pump Up Your Nuts segment where we pick out our favorite Lala tweet. But which one are we going with this week? What are you feeling? Chubby or Chase Those Skirts?
The chubby tweet's my favorite, I think. That shit's hilarious.
Okay. So, yeah.
And the oxygen.
Week one of Pump Up Your Nuts Lala Tweet of the Week. We are going with the...
her and her four chubby friends.
Yeah, for real. Shout out to Lala and her friends. They could probably go into Iowa State and get a road win.
All right. Should we get into some gambling?
Yes, we should. It's producer AB back on the mic here. We're working on getting me one full time. But I'm going to run this gambling little segment here for us. The way we're going to do it is we're going to preview and kind of talk about the lines and the totals for the next two games, just because there's two games until we record next. So the first one, we're going to start with KU at Baylor. We're going to go with KenPom lines because Vegas doesn't release them until the day of or 24 hours before, so they're not out yet. But KenPom has KU as a four-point favorite in Waco with a total of 136. I will go ahead and pass this to Braden. What are you thinking about KU down in Waco this week?
For the spread, I'm going to take KU -4 just because I don't see Bill losing to Scott Drew in Waco 2 years in a row. I mean, I don't know the last time we lost in Waco before last year even.
I think it was Elijah's senior year we lost with them, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, we don't lose there a lot. So you're going Baylor -4?
No, KU -4.
Yeah, KU -4.
I think we'll find a way to win in Waco. These are like the kinds of games you got to win. Like we said last episode, that at Baylor should be a win.
Yeah.
So KU usually takes care of business in games like this. So I'd take KU. For the over-under, I'm going to go under 136 on that.
Yeah.
Just because Baylor's zone, I think, could cause KU some trouble just because we haven't been shooting the ball that well. And I feel like Baylor kind of struggles to score. I feel like Devon could keep Makai Mason in check, and I just feel like I bet they'll score in the 60s or so.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I think I'm actually gonna go Baylor +4.
Scott Drew effect.
Best coach in the Big 12. And like you said, pretty much what you said. The zone. I'm worried about this team with zone against the zone. We have no shooters. It's all been covered. It's going to be scary. I think we're going to get a win, though. I think it's going to be like a one possession.
You can see it being tight.
Yeah, I can see it being like a 3-point. But like you said, I agree. I'm going Baylor +4, and I'm going under.
Because under 136.
Yeah, I think it's going to be ugly, and I think it's definitely going to be a game we win like 68-65 or 68-66
I could definitely see it being ugly. And who do you think's going to be – you think LeGerald would be in the middle of the zone that they're running? He's kind of been
– I don't know. That's what we did last year with, like, Washington, LeGerald. Remember that Washington game? LeGerald played in the middle of the zone, scored, like, 28 points because they just gave him wide open
layups. But he could have had 50. He had wide open floaters the whole game.
It was actually pretty hilarious. But I think it's possible we see Marcus there. I think it's possible – I mean, to me it makes sense. I think Marcus is – he's decent at getting into the paint, so you get him the ball in the middle of the zone.
Would it be crazy to have Diedrich right there?
That was the next thing I was going to say, B-turn. I think Diedrich in the middle.
Usually
of that
a big wouldn't be there, but
no. But the way, I mean, he can pass so well. I think it makes a lot of sense that you put Diedrich. Shout out to this helicopter going over us right now. Like, is that going to be in the background of the pod? But no, I think Diedrich is gonna. I think him in the middle of the zone will be good. It'll be interesting though,
because his like he's not making threes, but his mid range has been really nice this year.
Yeah.
10-15 footers if he's wide open, or we get slashers to the lane. He'll pass, get guys open for three.
Yeah.
I feel like he could dissect the zone really well.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of into the idea of putting him in the middle, but it doesn't like.
It doesn't seem right.
It doesn't seem like something Bill will do. I don't know. I mean, we're gonna miss Udoka. It seems like we get at least 6 to 8 points against the zone of just easy lobs and that back.
And Diedrich lobbing to Doke would be perfect.
So it'll be interesting to see how we play that. I think this is a game where Ochai can have a big effect with his jump shot because they are just going to pack it in, and they should. It's what we. If I was coaching against KU, I'd pack it in.
Make us make shots.
Yeah, and I mean Quentin's got it. Quentin's gonna have open shots. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. That's why I'm worried. I think the zone's gonna be a problem for us. But I don't think Baylor's good. They obviously beat Iowa State. Mekhi Mason's good, like you said. But
he had 25 against Iowa State.
Yeah. So
I hadn't seen the guy. I mean, I know he transferred in from Yale.
Yeah, he was a stud in that NCAA tournament a few years ago, but.
But with the 136 total, I feel like I can't see either team scoring 70.
No, I think it's going
to
be
tough for us to score just because it's on the road in the zone.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those road games where you just feel physically, like, ill the entire time watching. Like, nothing goes smooth. We're scoring points, but it never feels like, oh, that play was ran well. It's just we're going to find ways to score, but it's never going to look pretty.
But I feel like we kind of are due for a good shooting night.
True. That's very true. Law of averages.
So maybe they'll start – maybe they'll start falling. But if they don't, you would think Diedrich needs to be a monster on the boards.
Maybe we'll
give us second chances, get more – put up some more threes. I don't know.
I'm hoping we see a little Michigan State Quentin Grimes because that'll be big time.
He's going to be open.
If we make shots against Baylor, if we make the outside shots, we're easily covering that -4. But – until we prove that we can do that, I think I got to ride with Baylor in that one.
I could see Baylor covering, but we still win for sure.
It's AB back on the mic. I'm going to give my producer AB free play of the week right here.
Uh-oh.
Hammer KU -4.
Hammer.
I think it's tough to ask Baylor to go out and beat Iowa State and Baylor. Or, I'm sorry, beat Iowa State and KU in 5 days. Those are two of the top three teams in the Big 12, I think. I just think that's a tough ask for a fairly bad Baylor team. And I'm also going to go with the under like these two. I just think we haven't been able to show that we can shoot the ball at all. And I just think we're going to struggle against that zone a little bit. But we can guard well enough to hold Baylor. I think we'll cover the 4 fine.
I'm surprised you didn't hammer the under instead of KU.
No. I just like
Or would you hammer both? Or would you parlay them?
I'm a big parlay guy. I might tease them, parlay them, straight bet them.
Tease the under to what? 140
basketball
something?
Teasers are dumb. I don't mess with that. Just take KU -4 if you want to go with the under as well. I think
hammer
fairly safe, but hammer KU -4. That's a guaranteed. If you lose that one, you can go ahead and put a hit marker on me and kill me if you want. But
all right, folks.
But now we'll go ahead and transition to Texas. Now we got Texas on Big Monday. We got Braden's boy Fran Frischel on the mic again. That's a whole different
hates
conversation.
KU.
But
cheers against us
for that one. KenPom's got KU as a 7-point favorite, total of 135. This one's an Allen Fieldhouse, a little different environment, but we'll go back to Braden to give his picks here.
This spread for me is really tough. I don't know what you guys think, but I've been sitting here looking, and I feel like I have a hard time picking.
You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and take it over. Hammer Hawks -7.
Really?
Bill Self is Shaka Smart's daddy. Let's flash back.
More than Scott Drew's daddy?
He's getting to that point. I mean, let's...
That one game that happened.
What?
I forget.
Don't say it.
It was
don't
in San Antonio or something.
Yeah, whatever. Some Elite Eight game that happened. Well, guess what? That's the past, and let's think about this. Shaka Smart gets hired at Texas. Somebody comes in his press conference, and they say, Shaka, how you think you're going to adapt to Big 12 play? Shaka makes a little comment, says, oh, I think we adapted pretty well back in the Elite Eight game a few years ago. Since that game, Shaka has become Bill Self's little small son.
Yeah, and I'm sure he wants to just I mean, open it up against them, win by as much as we can.
Yeah, we 30-balled them in Austin like 2 years ago. Jamari was literally dunking on dudes' heads.
They haven't beat us, right?
Yeah, since I don't think Shaka's won a game against Bill Self since that VCU game. So, hammer KU minus 7, and I like the over, 135.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about the over, too. I feel like this total should be higher than the Baylor game. Just because I feel like Texas is super athletic. They could get steals that lead to transition layups. Kerwin Roach is pretty good. They have a couple scores. I feel like Ositkowski will give him second chances.
Shout out to you for knowing how to say his name, because no chance I could say that. But, no, he's a stud. I agree with you. I was a little shocked that the over-under was 135 compared to that Baylor 136. I think this is going to be an up-and-down game.
I can see that, too. I feel like it'll be more, like, high-paced. And, like, with Baylor, we're going to be in a zone passing it around. And they can't score as well as Texas, I feel like.
Yeah, so who knows?
Texas scored how many against UNC, even though UNC is a that's crazy up-tempo team?
Yeah, that's the thing about Texas is when they turn it on, they're incredible. But they can also – they got that K-State syndrome where they can just hit that drought where it's like – These dudes haven't scored in 2 weeks. So it's like, I think, but I'm going with the over. I think the Hawks will be in the 80s in that game. I think we score.
I can see that too.
So I'm feeling good about that. I'm hoping a road win at Baylor, which is hopefully what we'll get. I'm hoping we come back to Big Monday. Allen Fieldhouse will be jumping.
Yeah, 2 games in 3 days. So
yeah, and hopefully we've got some confidence under our belt and we're ready to roll. So I'm going KU minus 7, KU Texas over 135. What do you got?
I'll actually take Texas plus 7 and then over 135. Okay. I got to have different picks.
Okay. So so far I had Baylor plus 4, you had KU minus 4. We both took the under. AB, you said to hammer KU Kansas minus 4, and he also took the under. What do you got for Texas?
My thoughts with the Texas game is I'm not going to take this KU team to cover a spread more than 3 or 4 points until I see it happen. I get it. My thought process here is off. Different matchups, like you guys were saying, with the up and down. I just think Texas finds a way to backdoor into a plus 7. KU wins by 6 where they're up by 10 late.
Yeah, you could see us probably being up 10, 15 at half like we've been doing.
Right, and then, like we've done the last two games, last two home games where we get up 15 points, and next thing you know, it's a one-possession game. But I'm going to take Texas there. I don't know. It feels like a game where, okay, you can get out to a 12, 14-point lead, and then it gets a little close and hairy. And then I'm going to go with the over as well. I hate to join these guys and be plain, but like they were kind of saying, it's going to be up-tempo. Texas has better athletes, better scorers. I think that goes over fairly easily, but I'll lean with Texas plus 7 in the over.
I just don't understand why that total would be lower than the Baylor game.
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense, but KenPom, I mean, Vegas trusts KenPom. If you look at the totals before games, they're always within a point or two of each other, so he knows what he's doing, but I don't know. It does seem off that the total's about the same for those two because very, very different games in my mind.
I agree, but all I got to say is if you guys want to win some money, just take the opposite picks of mine, and you'll make some money.
Are you not rich off gambling yet, B-Turn?
No, I'm working my way up there. I'm getting close.
I've been on a break, man, because I stink out loud at gambling. But all this talk it's got me going. I think
producer AB has the locks, so you guys might as well take his picks.
Yeah, one of you listeners out there, keep track of AB's locks of the year. His first one, he's got the the Hawks going 4-0. Don't forget about that.
And for what it's worth, I'm also on a break right now too, so don't take too much stock in my picks. I just think KU's for sure a lock, but I was losing too much lately. No chance I'm going to try and lose some more, but my bad gambling mind, KU minus 4 for sure.
All right, shout out to producer AB's free play of the week. Stay tuned on those. Win yourself some money. But we wanted to do a prop bet, one that we talked about before the game. Over under starts for Ochai. You got a number for us, AB?
Yeah, the total that came to my mind was over under 1.5 starts for Ochai this year.
Ooh.
Which, it seems weird because he hadn't played it all this year. Like we look at Silvio last year, kind of like they talked about before. He never really caught his feet. He was always a role player, but I don't know, something with Ochai, I think he can hop into the starting lineup at some point, but over under 1.5, I'll swing it over to Reinhardt. And,
That seems a little high, producer AB. 1.5 seems high. That would obviously require him to start 2 games, and I guess the only scenario I see that happening is if LeGerald does something stupid and gets suspended, or I guess an injury is very possible with how our luck's been, or maybe Diedrich gets ruled ineligible and we just roll with 5 guards, but I don't see I don't know. I don't see if everyone's healthy and everyone behaves. I don't think I see the no chance he starts 2 games the rest of the year. If he does, shout out, because that means he's a stud.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like you're crazy if you take the over, but I'm going to take over 1.5. Because like you said, we're going to need an injury, or which obviously we don't wish that on anyone, but an injury or a suspension for him to start, but I could almost see him starting over Grimes at one point, like maybe 1 game just to switch things up.
I mean,
Bill seems to really like him and keeps calling him the most athletic player on the team. And who would have ever thought he would play 25 minutes in his first game?
Yeah, it's insane. And I mean, for sure, if you tell me over under 1.5, he closes games, it's over for sure. Because like you said, I think he's going to get a lot of minutes over Quentin late in games just due to he seems to be a better defender at this point.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. I don't know. If you start throwing him in a starting lineup, things get dicey. But it'll definitely be an interesting prop bet to watch. And,
for sure.
Look forward to seeing who's
but,
right.
Yeah, but, I mean, Bill's pretty, like, set on this lineup right now. I mean, Devon, Quentin, LeGerald. Who else is starting? Diedrich?
Marcus
Garrett, yeah. So, yeah, I could actually see Oach maybe starting over Marcus, too, because I feel like Marcus is a pretty good bench spark as well. He can penetrate, make layups, and play defense. So,
yeah, I would take the over as well. I just, I don't know. I can totally envision a scenario where Bill gets pissed at Q or Bill gets pissed at LeGerald or something off the court happens with anyone, and we need someone to step in. But, I mean, it was his first game coming in. He played 25 minutes right away. He's already playing over guys. So I could see a scenario where Bill gets tired of someone and throws Ochai in for a game or two, but we'll see how that goes. Last one I got for you guys, there's a above-average football game this weekend on Saturday.
Who's playing?
we got Andy Luck coming to Arrowhead playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and line on that one is Chiefs -5.5.
Yes.
Is that where we're at? And then I saw the over-under earlier this week at 56. Is it still there with the weather?
It's right around there.
Okay, so personally, I'm going to take the Colts +5.5.
Colts money line.
I'm going to take Colts money line. I'm going to take Colts alt spread -3.5. Anything that has to do with the Colts. The Chiefs don't win playoff games. It's been like that my whole life, especially against the Colts.
What'd you do in Vegas last year when we played the Titans?
Oh, I hammered Titans money line +390. That.
What that a was, fan he is, folks.
I wasn't happy. I was still upset when I won that, but it was a little silver lining that kind of.
It's tough
through.
Not to bet against the Chiefs probably in
right.
the playoffs.
The only difference this year is obviously at the quarterback position. But
who is our quarterback?
Patrick Mahomes.
I heard about him, but
Brayden might have a little man crush on a little Patty Mahomes there. But no, I'll take the Colts +5.5. I do actually think the Chiefs will win 31-28, something like that. But seems steep.
That's right around the over-under.
Yeah, so. I won't even give a pick on the total because, you know, Chiefs games can get off the rails really quickly. And next thing you know, it's 42-40 or something. So
yeah, my thing with the over-under is I feel like the Colts are really going to try to slow the game down by running and Marlon Mack.
Definitely.
And, I mean, Reggie Ragland and Hitchens haven't been too good this year. But
they sure haven't.
They're trying to.
Brett Veach is too big a big acquisitions with those.
But I feel like with the Chiefs, you got to keep Mahomes on the sideline, obviously.
Yeah, plus the weather coming in. I mean, if we actually get, 6 inches of snow, they're saying it's possible. I mean, that's definitely going to affect the game and could turn it into a slugfest, which, you know, if that happens, I think favors the Colts even more so.
Yeah, if the Colts dominate time of possession, I mean, obviously you're going to be in trouble, but they're going to run it and we give up probably the most yards per carry in the league.
Right. We're going to have to come out ready to throw bullets and score points because Colts are going to be on the field. I don't know how we're going to get stops, even if they run the ball the whole time and control the clock. But
I agree.
Like I said, I'll take Colts 5.5, and you guys can give your picks as well.
Oh, my God. The spread's so tough for me just because with my heart, I obviously want to go with the Chiefs to cover and hopefully an easy win. But I'd actually take the Colts +5.5 for sure. Not going to take Colts money line like AB, but
you guys are terrible.
Like AB said, I could see it 31-28 or 34-31 keep it like a field goal, Vinatieri game winner or Butker game winner.
There's just too much smoke towards the Colts, man. Like, everyone is on it. Everyone's talking about the upset, how hot they are. I think Patty's ready. I think the Chiefs roll. I'm taking the Chiefs minus 5.5. I feel good about it. Should be fun. I hope for your sake. I hope if we lose, I might not have two podcast hosts with me. So
yeah, we might be out of here, folks. you got to say the Colts are probably the hottest team in football.
Yeah.
I mean, they've won 10 of 11 after starting 1-5.
Yeah.
Luck's back to himself. He has an O-line.
Best QB in the league, according to your boy, Colin Coward.
Coward has Mahomes 8th in the MVP race, I think. But he's got a good O-line, probably the best, one of the best in the league. Braden Smith, shout out to Latha South. Quentin Nelson, all-pro as a rookie. Going to be a Hall of Famer someday. He's literally that good.
Yeah.
So, and the thing with me is our pass rush. That's our defense. That's all we have. Tied for the league in sacks, and their O-line can slow that down. So that's one of my worries for the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't got to get full into a Chiefs episode
here. Yes, we do.
One day we will. One day we'll try and bring you some more Chiefs talk. B turn's getting going over there. We're going to go 2 hours here if we get too hot on the Chiefs train. So
just win one playoff game, guys.
They got it. Patty's got it. But speaking of football, as we wrap up the show here, we just got a couple tidbits we wanted to talk about. Pour one out for the Chip Lindsey era as offensive coordinator at the University of Kansas. What do
How
you think
long
about
did it
that?
Last?
A month or 2 months, probably. Not even. Yeah.
I mean,
a little under.
Yeah.
2 months.
Had to have been. I mean, it's definitely upsetting. It's tough to blame a guy for taking a better job.
Yeah.
More like high paying job. But I was really excited just because the stuff he did at Southern Miss, and he had a big job in the SEC, but I know at Southern Miss he had Ito Smith, who's running back for the Falcons now.
Yeah.
Jalen Richard for the Raiders, and then Nick Mullins. So
I'm just
and
I'm
he did
so,
a lot of stuff with them, getting them in space. So
I'm so annoyed. I spent like hours watching just YouTube videos of Auburn's offense, Southern Miss offense, and stuff like that. Just totally wasted.
Yeah. And then another thing with Chip was all the good things Auburn fans had to say. They were like, you guys are getting a good one.
Yeah.
Malzahn kind of took over his play calling duties.
Exactly.
And
that's what was so exciting to me. It was like Auburn obviously didn't have a huge offensive year, but the blame seemed to be pretty – everyone was pretty much in agreement that it was more of a Malzahn thing than it was a Chip thing. So I was excited that he was going to have new life at a new school. And KU football just can't have nice things.
No.
And it
hurts with there's so many recruits that came out and said just great things about Chip, like the QB that committed, McVitie.
Thomas McVitie is clearly probably sitting there like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
I mean, those dudes are locked in.
They're signed.
So Ezra tweeted that he wasn't too happy about it. He's pretty shocked. So sucks for those guys. It's pretty stupid that coaches can just leave whenever and now these dudes are locked in, but
Because there's so many guys on your staff that you're recruiting other positions, and like Chip was a reason some of them committed. Now he's gone.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Obviously, there's not a ton of stuff to talk about with that yet. Not a ton of rumors on names. I've seen Jason King throughout Larry Fedora.
He's been a hot name for a while, even before we got Chip.
I'm all in on that.
Yeah,
I think
Fedora.
Yeah, so I don't know how realistic that is. Obviously, he was a head coach for North Carolina, but Major Applewhite is definitely another name that's been thrown out, the former Houston coach. It's kind of shocking he got fired, so if we could get him, I'd be all about it, but that could be a pipe dream, and who knows.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting, I'm sure, in the pod.
Hiring a good OC is obviously important when you got
a
good running back, decent running back, I think.
And
Puka, is he good?
Puka's decent. I've heard he's a decent running back, but no, Puka's incredible. That gets us to kind of our next point is Puka's court case finally happened. We don't want to give a ton of takes. We don't want to get into too much detail with it. Obviously, kind of an ugly situation, but it sounds like he's getting an aversion. So
no charges.
So, I mean, I'm not a legal guy, but to me that doesn't sound as damaging, but who knows? I mean, KU can decide on their own punishment.
Yeah,
so
KU fans are freaking out for a few weeks there.
Yeah, so Puka was at the game the other night. He's been on Instagram. He's back on Twitter, so who knows? But again, I don't want to really give too many opinions on that. Obviously, KU football, we had a lot of momentum going, and since our running back's been arrested and our offensive coordinator's gone, we'll see if McVitie still ends up coming. If he doesn't, friend of the pod, Carter, shout out.
Carter Stanley.
Carter's our guy. I hope he I'm ready to give him the keys, let him do his thing. So we'll see. I guess we kind of just wanted to touch on the football thing a little bit. We don't have much else. What do you got, any other thoughts?
No, I mean, obviously follow us on Twitter.
Yep.
Ain't No Seats Pod.
Ain't No Seats Pod, at R. Reinhardt 2012.
I'm B. Turner 23.
AB Anthony Bax 12.
Yes.
So
follow
get
our
us
followers
all.
Up.
Get the follows on at Ain't No Seats. We're going to definitely try and get this on Spotify, Google,
yes.
Google Play, everything. So we're hopefully going to have another episode next week, probably. We better.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. Two big games coming up, yep. Saturday, Monday. Hopefully have a big guest for you guys next week.
Hopefully.
Stay tuned for that.
Hopefully. That's we don't want to get too excited, but we're definitely in some discussions. But, yeah, shout out to listening. Again, give us all the feedback you can, and we'll see you next time on Ain't No Seats.
Rock chalk.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.